everybody. Welcome to the archive. I'm your host, DJ EJ, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Hope you all are having a good day today, and you're wrapping up a good week this past week. Personally, I'm finished with my summer course, so it's pretty nice to get to relax a little bit more, but I'm still staying busy, of course, as it's difficult not to do. And up here in Medford, it's pretty nice out, very sunny, a little warm for my taste, but, it's certainly cooler than it had been maybe 2 weeks ago, so I guess, that's all you can really ask for in July. All right, so we are going to start off with a track that I discovered through my Spotify Discover Weekly playlist, as is appropriately named, as is the case for a lot of the tracks I play here on the archive. But the thing is, this track was on my playlist a good month or two ago, and I almost completely forgot about it, and then for whatever reason I heard something else that must have triggered the memory of this track in my mind, and I had to really try hard and look through my listening history and figure out what this track was, because I didn't actually remember the title or the artist or anything. So it took a bit of detective work, but I am happy to say that I was able to recover it, and it is by Brazilian Girls. Here we go.
Call you on again, or I call you an energy.
All right. Like I said, that was by Brazilian Girls, and the track is called St. Petersburg. And while the band is not from Brazil, nor are they from Russia, they are from New York City, which is the album title, New York City, released in 2008. And like I said, that track was called St. Petersburg. And that's one that I discovered thanks to Spotify, our supreme music overlord. And yeah, it's just that's the only track I've heard by Brazilian Girls ever, and I don't really care if the rest of their music is awful. This track is fantastic. I love that kind of infectious groove throughout most of the song, and their singer definitely is channeling some Thom Yorke in her with that falsetto in the chorus, and it sounds absolutely angelic, which she actually mentions in Russian. She says, "Do you like my accent when I call you Anhel? Pardon my pronunciation." Then she goes on to mention a few more Russian phrases. Like I said, she isn't... well, first of all, the band is called Brazilian Girls, and she's the only girl in the band, which is kind of funny. And none of them are from Brazil, seeing as they formed in New York City. But she, the singer, whose name is Sabina Sciubba, again, pardon my pronunciation, this time Italian, though, she grew up in Rome and Berlin, or somewhere in Germany, I believe. And so I guess she does have an accent, but it isn't a Russian one. But yeah, like I said, amazing song. I'm happy. I'm kind of confused why that showed up on that playlist by Spotify, because it doesn't sound a whole lot like a lot of the music I listen to. But I guess we can just call it a very happy accident. Now, this next artist that I'm going to play for you is much more in line with what I usually listen to. It's one of my favorites, and I've played them on the show a couple of times before, but not this release, and actually I haven't heard this release too much. It seems to be a little bit overlooked in their short discography, but anyway, the artist is called Slint. We'll be right back. All right, that was by Slint, and the track is called Glen, and that comes from their 1994 untitled EP. And while that EP was their last release chronologically, it was recorded in between their debut album and their debut album Tweez, which is from 1989, the same year that this EP was recorded. And it was recorded before Spiderland, which was from 1991, and that's considered almost unanimously their crowning achievement. And that's the album that gets all the acclaim and attention. And I've listened to that album countless times. I own it on vinyl, which I'm very happy about. And I've heard Tweez a couple of times, and it definitely seems like a starting point, like they were figuring out their own kind of sound. But I think I've only heard this EP maybe once before, and it really is great. What was most surprising about this EP when I just heard it the other day was how post-rock it sounds. It really cements the fact that Slint was one of the originators of the genre. I mean, this sounds completely like something Godspeed You Black Emperor might be doing. Yeah, and their debut album, F-sharp, A-sharp Infinity, didn't come out until 1997, so 3 years after it was released, but an entire 8 years after it was recorded, so this was really forward-thinking music. As usual, for any Slint song, it's a textbook example of how tension can be used in music, and this track, like a lot of their other tracks, kind of keeps building up and building up, but it doesn't really get anywhere. Like, there's no cathartic release or anything. It just stays tense the entire time, and it builds up, and then it just stops, which is a really brilliant structure to use for your songs. And like I said, they were experts at that technique. For another example, listen to just about anything on Spiderland, but particularly the second to last track, the interlude For Dinner. You could also listen to Don a Man, which is track 4, I believe. But the album as a whole, you can kind of treat it as one track, and the tension just keeps building and building and building throughout each track, and then maybe a minute before the end, it finally gets released. At the end of Good Morning Captain, which is probably their best song, if you don't know it, I highly recommend you go listen to it right now, because it's quite an experience, and I won't say any more about it to spoil any surprises. But yeah, like I said, Slint had a pretty short discography, only the two albums and this one EP, and they dissolved shortly after the release of Spiderland in 1991, and all the members went on to do different things. And their singer and guitarist went on to form the band The Four Carnation. And that is the artist of this next track. Hope you enjoy.
When you make a wish, Thank you.
All right. Excuse me. That was by The Four Carnation, and it comes from their only album so far. It's self-titled, The Four Carnation, and it came out in 2000 on the Touch and Go label, which is the same label that Slint was on. And that track is called Tales Live from the Crypt. It certainly doesn't sound like it's a live track. I don't know where the crypt is, but it leads me to believe that that's just a name, and it is a pretty fitting name. One of the reasons why I picked this track is because there's a nice little vocal feature at the beginning of none other than Kim Deal from the Pixies and the Breeders. Although she sounds like she's some kind of cyborg in this one due to the reverse delay or whatever effect on her voice. That was a nice touch. And when I was listening to this album the other day, I recognized her immediately. She certainly has a pretty unique voice. This album by The Four Carnation is great. It's a pretty good follow-up for anybody who wants to hear more music like Slint. I don't know too well what a lot of the other members did after the band broke up. I know the other guitarist, David Pajo, was in the band Tortoise for a bit. And actually some members of Tortoise were in this band, The Four Carnation, so they're all kind of linked together in that way. This album kind of continues with a lot of similar aspects to the Slint sound. It's all pretty quiet and subdued. There's still all the very dynamic drumming, although from a different drummer this time. Pretty quiet, pretty tense. This track, I think, is the loudest on the album, if you can call it that. But one thing that's interesting is that this The Four Carnation is definitely still rooted very much in the post-rock genre, but it almost sounds like they're coming at it from the other end as Slint were. The way I see it is that the post-rock genre was created by Slint, who came from like the hardcore punk side, and then Talk Talk, who came from more of the jazzy side. And this definitely sounds jazzier than it does like punk, but there are... there are like synthesizers and stuff too. It almost sounds like Massive Attack if they were playing using actual guitars instead of keyboards so much. I just remembered I said that the drummer from Slint isn't on this album, but actually he is. He plays drums on the third track, which is called Being Held. So that was exciting. It was a little reunion between half of the band. Other than that, this is a great album if you like Slint, and if you liked this track, definitely look into it. The vocal style is pretty different from what you would find on a Slint album. On Slint, the vocals were either like strained yelling or simply spoken word, but now on this album, the singer Brian McMahon kind of adopts this husky, low, almost talking, but definitely melodic, almost kind of like what Leonard Cohen does, but less cigarette-y. I thought that this would be a good time to take a quick break for a PSA, but in case you just tuned in and you're joining us right now, I'm your host DJ EJ for The Archive on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and let's have a PSA.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
All right. I try not to get too political on the show, but I agree with everything in that PSA, and I think I will just leave it at that. Now, in discussing Slint and the Four Carnation, I mentioned that Slint comes from the hardcore or post-hardcore specifically kind of genre, and I feel like it's very difficult to mention that genre without playing a track from this next artist. And I'm not talking about Fugazi, although I probably should play them too, but I am talking about At the Drive-In.
Just laughed again. Dancing on the corpse's ashes.
And the parents.
fan.
Ashes, dancing on the corpse's ashes.
Right, like I said, that was by At The Drive-In, and it comes from their third album, I think, from 2000, called Relationship of Command, and that track is called Invalid Litter Department. If you look at any At The Drive-In album track listing, or actually any track listing, or the track listing of any album that their frontman Cedric Bichler, I believe that might be how you pronounce his name. If you look at any track listing, it kind of looks like a thesaurus threw up, or an encyclopedia or something. He definitely likes to use more unusual words. This album has a track called Rolodex Propaganda that actually has a pretty hilarious Iggy Pop vocal feature on it. There's also Mannequin Republic. There's Quarantined, Non-Zero Possibility. So he definitely has a pretty big vocabulary, or he likes looking up more obscure words in the English language. Not really obscure in that people don't know them, just words that you wouldn't really find in a rock song. I guess we'll leave it that way. In this track that you just heard, Invalid Litter Department, he mentions guillotines and vivisections and scalpels and all sorts of weird imagery that I have yet to piece together myself. But yeah, he's a great vocalist. It's worth pointing out that this album was the final At The Drive-In album for a very long time, because the vocalist, Cedric Bichler Zavala, and the guitarist Omar Rodriguez Lopez, and maybe other members, but I'm not totally certain, they went on to form the very famous progressive rock band, the Mars Volta. So they had been busy doing that for a long time. And then just last year, I think, they finally got At The Drive-In back together, and they recorded a new album that was called Inter Alia, I think. And if you are a very long time listener of the archive, you'll remember one of our previous hosts, DJ Mandy B, and she played a track from that new At The Drive-In album. And both of us, after that track, kind of roasted it, saying it sounds exactly like something you would find on Relationship of Command, and they hadn't progressed at all in 17 years. And I would like to apologize again for that, because it was a little harsh. And I think good music is good music, no matter when it came out or how long it's been since that style has been in fashion or whatnot. So I think I'll leave that there. But yeah, fans, if you like that song, if you like the kind of post-hardcore emo music, especially older music in that genre, like 2000 and previously, 2000 and prior, definitely give At the Drive-In a listen if you aren't familiar with them. Which, if you like those genres and you aren't familiar with them, I have to say that's a little bit unusual, but everything is possible. And actually, the rest of this, the rest of my show here today is in the post-hardcore or emo kind of wheelhouse. These next two tracks are both ones that I found on a personalized Spotify playlist, and let's just get into them. This first one is by the band Swain.
waves caress the foamed shore below, resonating ultrasonic through the cliffs and their sand. Sun's shine is poured all around, with it being dry under leaves and such.
Okay, the first track that you heard there was by the band Swain, and it comes from their 2016 album, The Long Dark Blue. This is actually it's the first album under the name Swain, but the band Swain used to previously be known as This Routine Is Hell, and I haven't found out why they changed the name. And I don't know, I haven't heard their original album to know if it was for stylistic reasons or just because they wanted a different name, but they're called Swain now, and that track was Never Clean My Room, which the lyrics are pretty funny. It says, I'm never going to clean my room, I'll just move when I get sick of it. And I think this track is super catchy. It reminds me a lot of some of the more subdued Foo Fighters tracks, where Dave Grohl is singing more than he's yelling, or he has that gritty vocal tone, like Doll or February Stars, both from The Color and The Shape. So yeah, really catchy track. I'm glad I found Swain. The rest of that album, The Long Dark Blue, is very good. It's kind of a little bit all over the place within that hardcore genre. Some tracks are catchy, some tracks are loud and shouty, everything in between, all great stuff. I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye out for Swain releases in the future. And the track that you just heard was a little bit older, actually a lot older. It's by the band Moss Icon, and the track is called Gravity, and that was originally released on their 1994 album It Disappears, But I'm playing it on Spotify from their complete discography compilation. Although that's a bit of a misnomer, as it seems that there's a good amount of their discography not on it, so I'm not sure where they got that name. But for the 19 or so tracks on that compilation, I have to say Moss Icon was a fantastic band. I think they're pretty overlooked if it's taken me until now to discover them, since I'm pretty interested in the whole post-hardcore thing back in the late 80s and 90s, as well as the origins of the emo genre, and they fall right smack dab in the middle of all of that. So, they're from Annapolis, Maryland, and they were only around for maybe 5 years, but they put out a good amount of music, I think 2 albums and some singles and splits and demos and all that. So, yeah, definitely check out the rest of their work if you were digging that track. And other than that, I think that's going to be it for the archive. I have 1 track left for you, but before then, I just want to say thank you for tuning in and hanging out with me and listening to some tunes today. I've been your host, DJ EJ, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. The show is called The Archive. Make sure you stay tuned for DJ Aaron, who's coming up in just a few minutes with his show, What's Happening. I'm sure he'll have some great local musicians live in the studio, as he usually does. And also, before I get into this next track, I just want to say there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to make it to the archive next Sunday. I'm probably going home to New Jersey this weekend. So if you're dying to listen to some music at 4 p.m. on Sunday, I will say listen to some Modest Mouse or some Coach Whips, or check out the new Brockhampton single. And their new album is coming out pretty soon, I believe. I'm not entirely sure. I have to go check up on that. But I know they have a single out. You can listen to that. Like I said, I have 1 track left for you, and it is by the band The World Is a Beautiful Place and I Am No Longer Afraid to Die. And it's the last track off of their 2013 album, Whenever, If Ever. So I hope you enjoy it. Hope you had a good time listening to the archive today, and I will see you around.